Does that mean Matt's on his way?
That's exactly what it
Oh, I
means.
see him. Yeah.
Oh, I was here within plausible deniability range. And
good. My clock says it's 3:59, so you sir are early.
Yeah. And Zoom even said JJ doesn't know a meeting is going on yet. Which I love them for shaming you as I wait in your waiting room. Thank you, for that feature, Zoom. Appreciate you.
So you've been just sitting in the waiting room for 5 minutes because JJ's a dick and didn't want to let you in.
Can't blame him. I deserve it a little bit. But guess who's wasn't waiting in the waiting room and is very welcome today? Hi there, Laura.
Surprise!
Surprise! Hello. Would you mind?
How y'all doing?
Great. Would you introduce yourself for the gang?
Sure. I'm Laura Santa Maria, and I am a developer advocate, and I'm in Austin, Texas area, not native here.
Oh, and Texasites.
Well, that's where I am right now. I'm not originally from here. I guess I'm supposed to say like what my favorite food is. That's my guess. I'm in Texas. I better say barbecue. So
you've got two choices. You can say your favorite food or your favorite Kubernetes. They're the two options.
Oh, my favorite Kubernetes. Okay. The Kubernetes. God, you're going to make me actually make a decision about like my favorite Kubernetes flavor.
Look, they're not your children. You're allowed to have a favorite.
Well, I mean, I guess then I probably should say like, I don't know, doing it on CoreOS or something. I have no idea because I'm old school.
That works.
Fair enough. Appreciate your rebel cause here. Well, welcome. If we still have listeners after the weird ass episode we did last week, welcome, Laura, to our Motley hallway track. I think, you know, the question is, Paul, what did you find on the internet?
What did I find on the internet? So I found something that I thought was super applicable to Matt, especially. It was kind of an interesting...
Oh, no.
Intersection between my nerdery and your nerdery. So there's a YouTuber, a food YouTuber called Andong, and he just hit like some milestone. And as part of that milestone, he wanted to do a breakdown of the tool he uses to plan out his shows. Because like most of the larger YouTubers, he actually has a team. He sort of hit that point where he can pay people to help him. And so he needs something to actually coordinate it. And of all the things he uses to coordinate himself and a couple of other people to produce his YouTube videos, he uses Notion.
Yay!
I thought you were going to say Basecamp. I swear you were going to go down.
That would have been so much better.
He doesn't give me the freedom type vibe there. That is really cool. I watched the video before this and his use of coordination is like what you can do the same basic flow in 800 tools, but the way you can scrape information off the internet, plop it into a card and then visualize it as a card or a database or like assignments for yourself, just the flexibility to coordinate with people in there is really satisfying. So that was fun to see and felt validated.
Yeah.
Laura,
and I actually
what's
had
your...
no oh go ahead.
Yeah. Laura, what's your productivity tool of choice?
Oh god, there's too many. like are you giving me context like at work, at home? I don't know.
This is a context-free show.
Context-free show. Jeez. Well, I guess at home I attempt to use Todoist. Nice. The attempt is there. I'm going to put attempt because like I'll make a to-do list and then I'll forget about it for like 2 weeks. And then I remember the app is on my phone and I look at it and I go, oh, that's what I was doing 2 weeks ago. Okay. And then I move on to make another to-do list and then forget about it again, which is about right. Right.
I think it's 90% of users.
Yeah.
For a while I was doing the Asana thing. Like I was trying to like keep myself coordinated with Asana. I made my partner get Asana so that like we both had it on our phones and we could like coordinate cleaning the house and all this. Yeah, that lasted for like 24 hours.
That's literally my dream.
That didn't last very long.
So speaking of that, our illustrious friend Boyd Hemphill, he has a thing where he does like he calls it laundry ops, and he basically does
Are you kidding me?
He took like the whole DevOps idea of like pipelining and stuff, and just decided that like he was going to do laundry once a day, every day, no matter how large the batch was. And he did a big write-up of applying these DevOps principles to doing his laundry to optimize for like the time spent overall doing it.
So basically optimize the time spent, but like use up as many resources as possible. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, yeah. Because his time is way more important than like the greenhouse effect.
Good to know. This has to be the next Ignite from him.
I'm pretty sure he did it as an Ignite at one point. Although knowing Boyd, he probably talked about it for an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, if I'm from correctly, Isaac, his son actually learned about the pipeline process through it and said that he tried to implement it with his dishes also or something like that. Like he was really proud of it. And it was a really nice, like, it's a really good talk. It's a really, really great talk. So,
as someone whose mom was like, did like kind of the home ec thing with me when I was younger about like how you clean the house, how you do different things. This hurts because it's kind of like, you know, like, okay, we have to apply all these wonderful tech principles and all these things to the things that your mom probably taught you when you were like 10, right? Like do the dishes every day. Who knew that was a thing?
But that's how tech does things. We like
I know
constantly
like we apply
reinvent
things like it's magic.
But we always introduce some horrible error that comes back to bite us. Like we decided
so
to get into.
What's gonna be the error with laundry ops? I want to know what's the
I mean,
error with
the
laundry
clothing
ops?
Gets stuck in the laundry chute. Zero underwear for days.
So the laundry one is probably not like that bad, but like. Tech decided they were going to teach the ag industry like how to grow lettuce in greenhouses all fully automated. And that's why everyone keeps getting sick from like the chopped up lettuce packs, because basically they ignored all the existing practices and safeties in order to make these robotic lettuce factories. And then everyone's getting listeria and shit.
And that's why Paul's favorite Kubernetes are BSD jails.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
You know, he's very just nice. Running from the best. Oh, well, that killed the conversation.
It
cool.
Sure did. I mean, there's nowhere to go from BSD jails. Like, literally, you're stuck inside them. You can't escape.
You don't even have a network.
So like aren't BSD jails boxes. Actually just running apps inside of Vim?
I don't know. That sounds like Emacs to me. I can't freaking exit that shit without crashing my computer. Nope. I don't think I'm doing it right.
Worst kill. It always works every time.
Speaking of crashing, I had to change browsers again.
Are you no longer an edgelord?
No, I'm no longer edgelording in the Microsoft land, though I hate that phrase with a fiery passion, but it brings you joy. So I, you know, rock on. But yeah, so Edge must have, I don't know if I'm uniquely running into it or what, but it's peaking CPU on macOS right now and just totally clobbering the system when I have an aggressive amount of tabs open. So I had to skip it and I went back to Firefox land. And since I left, it's gotten prettier. Do any of you use at least like 74 or above right now?
I use all of them.
Oh.
All the browsers, depending what I'm doing. Yeah. They're very pretty.
Indeed. Yeah. What, how does one, you broke me. Like, how does one all the browsers?
Because I have too many machines. So it's like all my Linux, one Linux box has Chromium, one Linux box has Firefox. The other one's like the work laptop is doing Chrome and a couple of other things. And then, you know, I've got Safari on this one because I have to. And so using all of them works. Don't expect to have tabs on the same machine. So like you're frantically going around like, which tab did I have that open on? It's no longer that question of like, which window was I on? Which tab was I on? It's which computer was I on? And then it figures out from there. So it works out.
So fun fact, Chromium is a it's like the super open source version of Chrome, but there's also a game on Linux called Chromium, which is like a one of those two-dimensional like airplane shooty games.
Oh, no way.
And so the very first time I tried to install Chromium on my Linux laptop, I ended up with this game and had way more fun than if I had actually gotten the browser.
Best day of DevOps of your life.
Right?
There you go.
Every time you...
So I hadn't looked at Firefox recently, and I just brought it up, and I guess it's Firefox 89. There's sponsored links on the page now. Did that happen to y'all too? Like, I got like, it means Amazon and eBay. So, I mean, I probably look at those, but that's new, right? Like that's not, that wasn't that I had beforehand, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when they brought that in.
I mean, they were going
able to turn it off, but.
Right. Like they almost went under financially a couple of years ago. We know they fired so many people we know in the industry who are excellent technologists because they're just struggling due to the ubiquity and, you know, quality, quite frankly, of Chrome and Chromium extensions. But I didn't realize they're like adding links to pages I'm on, but I do trust them to have a soul more than other browser builders. So I kind of like get down to that first layer of trust eventually. I'm like, Mozilla, you're not going to mess with me any more than Google would.
Isn't it funny that the company who for so long had the actual do no evil mantra is actually the one we least trust to do no evil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Facebook kind of wins though. Like,
yeah, but they never pretended to be like the good people. Like that started because what's his face wanted to like rate the hot chicks at his school.
Right. Sure.
Right?
That's true.
So
yeah, it was set in stone what that culture would be pretty early on. Well, what else is going on? Anything new in this evolving world?
So I went out for lunch today. For the very first time in however long, we went to Garbo's. They're in the, people who don't know Austin obviously aren't going to get this. They're in the old Opal Devine spot near where Fry's used to be. But Opal Devine's had a really good back patio, which means Garbo's has a really good back patio. And so we decided it would be fairly safe to sit at the back patio with a couple of us that were all fully vaccinated and willing to give it a shot. And it was quite delightful. So Garbo's is lobster rolls. So New England style lobster rolls. So we had lobster rolls and some delicious stuff. A couple of beers, sat on the patio, and it felt nice.
Good.
You managed the social thing, like coming back from forever?
I mean, there was three of us, so it wasn't that social.
Well, I mean, like, did you like uncomfortably stare at someone, but not exactly at them because it's like staring at Zoom all the time?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there any of that like uncomfortable staring?
I mean, I'm king of uncomfortable staring at anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like every meal I've had with Paul. When he's, I mean, even while he's chewing, it's really alarming. It's just like just looking into your soul while he masticates, which is just, it's a lot. It's a lot to see in person. But yeah, I'm with you, Paul, that, you know, I just came back from vacation and I went on an airboat. Is that what they're called? An airplane. Airplane. I went on an airplane again.
I want to go on an airboat. That sounds amazing. Aren't they those boats with the fans on the back that like blast across the Louisiana swamps?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be real. I feel like Australia and Louisiana swamps are like a Venn diagram, so whatever you call them is legit. But yeah, I went to Mexico and back, and
so now you've been to Mexico, you're supposed to say Mexico to let everyone know that you've been there.
No, I'm still terrible at pronunciation. But yeah, I did order paella. Wait, is that even from Mexico? Damn, I'm going down the wrong rabbit hole here. Tacos. Let's agree on tacos.
Tacos are safe. Tacos are safe. That's fine.
I did eat a lot of pak chuk, actually, now that I think about it. So like, wait, this.
What's pak chuk? I don't know this one.
It's like a, looked like a malleted pork tenderloin until it's like really flat and then smoked slash grilled with some, it was usually like a tomato, like a smoky tomato salsa or tomatillo salsa. And everything was served with like this awesome black bean pile and a couple other vegetables. And it was like, make your own homemade taco. Every place I went had it, and like every little street corner had it in Playa del Carmen. And it was fun. I tried like six of them just to compare and contrast. And every place had their own style a little bit. Nice. That's, and the great habanero salsa was legit. Freaking fire.
So you mentioned tomatillo salsa, and I feel like that's almost a good way to judge the quality of the Mexican restaurant, because tomatillo salsa is either like amazing or it's kind of gross. And so it's a quick way to like, I'll get the chips and tomatillo salsa and judge how I think the food is going to be at this place.
And you're like, check, please. That was terrible. Well, anyone else doing some exploring outside of their castle?
Haven't you been taking up some fitness activities?
Yeah, but I talk too much anyway. Other people.
Fine.
I guess I can say, like, I've been on a road trip, a couple road trips recently, because a friend was getting married in an outdoor wedding. And so we all went. Oh. Everybody was vaccinated. So that was really fun. Drove all the way up East Coast, came back down. It was definitely worth the trip. So
did you get fun, like a RV and like overlanded or something? Or were you staying, I wish, at I had your favorite, no, La Quinta Inn?
So no,
La Quinta.
We actually have a Z, a 300ZX. So the trip was in this tiny ass little car that really trying to figure out what you can fit in that trunk is like playing Tetris in real life, but smaller, which is really, really highly entertaining when normally like you're a very small packer, but then there's also like all the car cleaning products and all the things that, and all the tools and parts to make sure that the car continues to run, because you're going to break down somewhere along the way and you're pretty sure that will happen. So it's very, very tiny trunk area. So highly entertaining. I recommend it, but no big RV.
Was it fun being on the road again?
Oh yeah. Like I know it's not the same, I mean, as other travel, but being on the road, it was kind of like, wow, right. I listen to podcasts when I'm on the road. I haven't done that in a while. I listen to books. Okay. I realized that I hadn't really done either of those in a while. But
yeah, I promise. Jeans.
I know.
Which books did you listen to?
So I was listening to Ultra Learning, which was a really good book about like how to learn things quickly. Kind of fascinating to listen to how people have analyzed how people learn things quickly to come up with something. And then I listened to a book called Loon Shots, LOON. Everybody keeps thinking I say moon shots, and it's like, no, it's loon, as in like a loon, a bird. Loon Shots. And it's about how you foster crazy ideas that turn into amazing things, like Polaroid and Pan Am was one of the case studies. There were a couple of others. Really fascinating book. It kind of sounds like DevOps, which was creepy. That was not intentional. It keeps following me. I'm on vacation. DevOps is following me somewhere. Though I don't go down the route of laundry ops, so that's good.
It's like, don't look down the hamper.
Yeah.
Also, the loon is the state bird of Minnesota, so caught my attention.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all over the place here.
Isn't that also the Canadian dollar coin, the loonie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then they call a $2 coin a toonie, which I thought was amazing.
They do? That's, oh, those Canadians, so much wittier than us.
Anyway, sorry for bringing that up.
something something Tim Hortons something something Tim Hortons
Tim Hortons something. Tim Hortons is a
I don't get Tim Hortons.
It's actually pretty
How
good.
How do you not get Tim Hortons?
Dude, yeah, I like
their donut holes are dry and their coffee is gross.
I think you've just like flagged yourself for whenever you try to cross over into Canada, everyone's going to try to stop you now. So yeah, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'll fight Canadians. they're half French, so it'll be easy.
They'll beat the crap out of you, but apologize for it.
Exactly. So, I was going to say, they're going to apologize
that way,
the whole time.
Minnesota just fits.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, no, Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is very good.
But I mean, let's get back to you, Laura, as a new member of this hallway.
I'm getting grilled. Help me. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
No, well, I gotta ask. Laura, did you listen to this podcast while you were on your road trip?
Yes.
No.
Ish.
No, you didn't. No.
I listened to like 5 minutes. So it counts.
That's actually perfect. The longest anyone's ever listened to it.
It's so
including
true.
Us.
Yeah, I never listened to
it. I mean, I've listened to it other times, but like it got added to everything else. So it worked out really well. But yeah. I did find out that sometimes people encourage other people to listen to it on mute while we are recording so that at least maybe it sounds like we have some people subscribing. So I don't know if that's actually true, but that was mentioned in one episode and I thought it was hilarious. So
we are much better listen to at 5x speed. Pro tip out there.
I beg to differ. But yeah, in the getting to know you phase, I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite YouTube cooking channel? I heard you were asked that ahead of time.
I do. So I actually have two. One of my favorites is Not Another Cooking Show, which is really great if you want to learn new techniques and do just learn how to work in your own kitchen. And it's hosted by a guy who used to be a chef in a restaurant, like a food truck type scenario where you have a really tiny space. So he always cooks in his kitchen in New York. Also, he sounds a lot like home because I'm originally from Philly. So lots of those sounds of home, things like that.
Oh, isn't but that the home of the like fuck around and find out thing? Is that Philly?
Philly? I thought you were talking about his cooking show. I'm like, I don't know.
You're talking about sorry,
attitude. I got distracted by you saying Philly. Ignore me and
maybe,
keep going.
Maybe. I don't know.
Isn't that what that character is? That
like, it's Gritty.
Yeah,
it's
Gritty.
One of the most amazing mascots Gritty. Of all time.
Yeah, yes. isn't that his Gritty's phrase? Amazing. The fuck around and find out? I don't know.
Gritty's clearly. Amazing. And Gritty will like F you up so really badly.
Yeah. I'm like, I think my friend has a Christmas ornament. He's from Philly as well. And it's Gritty's terrifying face in all his glory.
Gritty's so amazing. I love Gritty.
Yes.
But he doesn't have a cooking show.
No. The,
how
the
cool
other
would
one,
it be if he did?
I'd be afraid to eat the food from Gritty's cooking show. I'm just saying, like, Paul, maybe you'd be more adventurous.
He already looks like a meatball. I mean, it's definitely part of the way there.
Are you talking about me or Gritty?
Yes. We're talking about Gritty. All of the above.
All right, so it's not Gritty. Who is it that you...
I'm laughing too.
What's his name?
Respond. Give me a minute.
Well, episode one with Laura, okay. And we already broke her.
Yeah, I broke her.
No, cool. You're good. No, my other favorite is Kent Rollins, Cowboy Kent Rollins. He does all of his cooking on like grills and he'll do some cooking at home, but his food's amazing. Really, really good. We did a Jacked Up Peaches, which was a Jack Daniel's glaze. They were really amazing. I don't think I've ever had peaches that good.
Oh, homemade cowboy corn dogs.
Oh, yes. His that stuff's is... really good. We're considering making a pilgrimage to his like spot. He has a coffee shop he's opening up.
He looks armed. I would just double check.
Where is he?
It's Texas.
Where is he based out of? Oh, he's in Texas?
I mean, yeah, he's in Texas, Oklahoma area.
Well, I guess he's a cowboy. Of course, he's from Texas.
Yeah, but I highly recommend watching. Like, he's so cheesy, and it's amazing.
Nice.
And it's delicious.
Tell us about the peach dish.
Oh, so let's see if I can find it. But it was jacked up peaches, and he takes peaches, cuts them in half, and he puts on this brown sugar bourbon glaze and like puts that on there. Then that gets grilled, and you keep basting the peaches in this brown sugar bourbon, and then that with vanilla ice cream.
Mm. Nice.
So
yeah, I do amazing grilled peaches. I do a grilled peaches, and I don't usually marinate them like that, so I might try it. But I do a like a whipped mascarpone and what's the Canadian sugar juicy stuff? Maple syrup. Well, I don't know why that was a hard word to remember. It was like maple syrup and yeah, and it's delicious. You whip it together, mascarpone, and it's so good.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. Grilled peaches are delightful.
Maple syrup is my go-to over sugar and coffee. I don't know if that's going to get me fans or haters, but it's. I don't often put sugar in coffee, but when I do, it's maple syrup.
Yeah, I made this is bourbon honey. There it is. Oh, it's so good. Anyway.
And then the other guy that you mentioned, I just looked at him, the Not Another Cooking Show, and he's got a recipe for a classic pavlova, which looks pretty good. So as an Aussie, and that's being our national dessert, I say that's good. I approve.
Paul approval is good approval.
Agreed.
I was going to say I broke the internet with that statement. Okay.
No, we're just big fans of dramatic pauses.
Right. We just like to give JJ things to not edit out.
It's true. I'm not going to do it. Never will. Never have. Never will. But speaking of coffee, I've been recently running through Cafe de Aurelia. I'm butchering the name. It's basically the cinnamon coffee with the very specific sugar in it. As a diabetic, I really should never have it, but it's really fucking good. If you can get your hands on that sugar, the main ingredient of it, it's like this brown kind of tube sugar thing.
I think is it the one before. That comes in like a
cone?
Like a cone, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like palm sugar, how it comes sort of compressed in a thing. Yep.
Yeah.
And I wish to talk about. And you can kind of like grate it with a microplane or whatever to.
I was actually told to put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds to loosen it up. And then you can, it's much easier to break off the amount that you need from there. So
I thought you only did that with babies.
I put it with kittens. It's only kittens for me. but no, in all seriousness though, this coffee's amazing. And I'll throw a link into the notes and all. If you can get your hands on it, it takes like 10 minutes to make. And it really is phenomenal. And it can work with almost any coffee you have.
Piloncillo sugar?
That's it. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Good to know.
In a pinch, you could probably get away with like soft brown sugar.
Yeah.
Because it's got a similar kind of less processed, earthy kind of undertones. Cool. So I've been, I think I talked about this last episode, but I was going to attempt to make my own tofu.
Yes.
Yeah, you were.
It happened and it turned out pretty well. So I don't know, did we talk about how tofu is made and the difference between silken and pressed tofu?
I think we've skated around it as I was fumbling through the Mappo logs that we went through,
right.
Like the Mappo iterations. But I bet it's worth a repeat.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
So tofu is basically made from coagulating the proteins from soy milk. So it has a lot of overlap with cheese. And in fact, the main way to make tofu is you basically boil the soy milk. So you really want to make the soy milk yourself. So you get your beans, you grind them, you boil them with water, then you strain out the beans. And basically what's left is the proteins and stuff from the soy in the water making soy milk. And then you add a coagulant, which will split it into effectively curds and whey. And then you basically separate them and then press the curds into tofu. So soft tofu is like a light pressing. Firm tofu is a much harder pressing. Silken tofu is, instead of the coagulant splitting it, it kind of more sets it like a pudding or kind of like a jello. But it's definitely not, it's not quite the same as like a gelatin. And so it has like a kind of, it does have that sort of puddingy type consistency. So I watched this guy on YouTube, Chef Brandon Jew of Master Jew's, a restaurant was making it, and I probably said his name wrong. And he was making silken tofu in a bowl. So like basically in small batches. And so it'd basically be set at the bottom of the bowl. And then he would ladle the Mapo sauce over the top. And so you would sort of eat it by like taking a spoon and digging it through the like the tofu puddingy stuff and also picking up the Mapo sauce.
It's like the best ice cream sundae if you're into Mapo tofu.
Exactly. And it looked delicious. So I wanted to make that, and I did, and it turned out amazing. I did have to change my coagulants. I was using the type that splits it, and the internet said you could use that, and the internet was wrong. So I had to get some gypsum, which is the coagulant that sets it versus splitting it. And I did a couple of experiments using homemade versus store-bought soy milk. And I found if you got a high enough protein soy milk from the store, you could get it to set into silken tofu. And that makes it much easier, because making your own soy milk is pretty painful and usually ends up with like a ton of like burnt soy garbage on the bottom of your pan that you then have to try and clean.
I think that's going to be my Halloween costume this year. Burnt soy garbage.
Burnt soy garbage? Okay.
Yeah. Or Mapo tofu. I think probably the latter. This is way beyond my skill set. Have either of you messed around at this length?
With tofu? No. With other food, maybe. But tofu, not so much.
Yeah.
Considering I said my favorite food is barbecue. I mean, kind of doesn't exactly work, but you know.
Yeah, I barbecue the shit out of some tofu.
I was going to say, Matt
pretty
does
good,
that.
Actually.
I had a really great run with, there's this Korean barbecue book that Paul sent me, which is very sweet of him. And I've been running through the recipes, and one of them's this barbecue sauce, this Korean style barbecue sauce that, and you marinate like strips of tofu in it, and then you roll it in a dry rub. And then I put it on top of kind of, what do you call that? Like a ceramic plate on top of my grill that had like the ridges on it. And I got like beautifully crispy, like grill marked tofu. And it was pretty damn tasty. I didn't know that was actually possible. I learned a lot. I would definitely do it a little. I would dry it out a lot more before putting it on the grill to let it crisp up even more. But it's really tasty. I don't know. So
have you tried smoking? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I heard. Have I tried smoking firm?
That works.
It was firm tofu or extra firm tofu in this one. And I've not tried smoking tofu. I find like if it's not over direct heat on the grill, it just doesn't get enough energy to it. It's pretty, at least I bet it depends on the moisture level. I'm just at that level with it where like I won't, even over direct heat, it still is going to take about 20 minutes to cook as I move it around. So I love indirect heat cooking on the barbecue I've got, but I haven't messed with it with tofu. That could be interesting. I bet it'd collect a lot of flavor, maybe too much even.
Yeah, you can actually buy smoked tofu from some of your Asian grocery stores. And so it's definitely a thing that is done.
Very cool.
It's delicious.
We've done cold smoking cheese. And we have a whole setup on the grill outside that you set up a water dam to help absorb some of the heat. And you have all kinds of like timed stuff with the charcoal that we use and everything like that. And then you have you put everything in such a way that the smoke just travels past it. It's been this whole experiment, with a delicious, delicious experiment, because even if you mess it up, the cheese is still amazing. So we've been doing that and it's been really good. So I'd be kind of curious now. I wonder if I could like persuade my partner that putting tofu on the grill wouldn't be like sacrilege.
Just give him a block of extra firm that you've taken out of the box and tell him it's like a white cheese.
He wouldn't know a thing. It'll work.
It's just moist, porous cheese.
It's a queso fresco. It's queso fresco.
Queso fresco.
I'll toss it in the next tacos. It'll work.
Isn't that JJ's stripper name?
Nice.
I met him after he retired. Cheese. Speaking of which, JJ, you've been uncharacteristically quiet. Is there bad news in the Fast and the Furious land, or what's going on?
Well, actually, I if you can hear from my voice, I am actually a little bit sick right now, and if I talk too much, I start coughing pretty badly. But I will report. I know on Saturday I was at my worst, and it's later on in the week now. And I did watch 3 of the Fast and the Furious movies back to back.
I love
you. Nice.
And we completed the series. We've gotten all the way up. So now we are ready to watch it when it was released here in about a month. So
I have to ask, your favorite Fast and Furious?
The one I'm watching at the moment.
Okay.
The Zen Buddhist of Fast and Furious fans.
So there was a donut video where they ranked all of the Fast and Furious movies. Yes. And have we made Matt watch this yet?
Absolutely not. No, you'll need some really good bribes.
All right, we're going to try to do this because I think that needs to be part of the next episode. JJ, you have a friend. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Oh, this is great. This is so
great.
Thank
God somebody's going to friend him on that front.
But we have already just discussed and decided that the best of the Fast and the Furious movies is Pitch Black.
Oh, Jesus.
Totally right. I mean, ouch. Chronicles of Riddick is a close number two, but Pitch
ouch,
Black.
Ouch.
I get hurt every time.
And then I think Ballers is the best spinoff.
Oh, God. Well, he's going to be president one day, so it's okay.
I agree. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is one of the few people that can heal this nation.
What if he gets Vince Turetti in to be his VP?
Too soon.
isn't that his name in the Fast and Furious movies? The main guy. Or did I get his name wrong?
Oh. You're thinking Vin Diesel, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Isn't Dominic Toretto? No,
his name's Dominic.
Dominic. Wow, Toretto. How did I Dominic get that Toretto. So wrong?
That I was, love yeah. it.
Of course, it's Dom.
It's amazing.
I must be thinking of his. Must be thinking of his cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Cena's in the newest one. You didn't know.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Keep moving.
No, it really, you know, you need a good shtick on a podcast. And I think our diametrically opposed positions on Fast and Furious will carry us through.
So what I'm hearing is we need to show up at your house with like cars and take you on a drive so that you understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Now we're talking things I would do and enjoy. I have driven at like 130 miles per hour on a highway before with a former like racer. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it, in the same way, like shooting guns is a freaking blast. Like, that doesn't mean I want like a mindless series of 18
tried,
movies with the same
subplot. Have you
tried
doing it at people? It's way more fun.
Paul. Dude.
Paul.
Not cool.
Paintball's fun though. Paintball is fun.
I did that in high school. Actually, that was a hobby for a while. Like paintball tournaments, you get some damn good bruises.
I was about to say, like, how big was the bruise? Because those are amazing.
Yeah, there are some serious welts.
I think the best part is when, like, you're there for fun, and then you're with the person who, like, is so serious about it, and they have a whole plan, and we're gonna do it exactly this way, and like, then someone Leroy Jenkins it just like runs straight out. It's perfect.
Yeah, I always love it. There's always that guy that like opens his trunk and like pulls out his own like paintball gun and mask and
the whole like
yeah
you know armor and everything, and they're like yeah. Okay, so here's how we're gonna do this. I know this course.
You called it a course.
I'm just saying, like, but you know that there's somebody who's like that, who's like talking about it in such like a very, very specific way. And you're like, okay, dude, we're just going out there to have fun and hit each other with paintballs. It's fine.
For real. Not a sport where we hit people, but back to the doing stuff in the persons again. I went rock climbing for the first time in a year and some change this week. And that was hard. Rock climbing is hard. No one told me because I used to be good at it. It is very difficult.
Are you doing bouldering or?
Yeah.
Bouldering?
Yeah, I there's a really good bouldering gym. It's actually like the sister one to Austin Bouldering Project. I've got Minneapolis Bouldering Project up here. And I've climbed with some friends in your area. But yeah, it's just, I remember how to move my body to like balance myself, but then it's just crazy that when I reach for something that would my hand would stick to, I'm just eating shit like consistently on things that it's just that honestly maybe somebody can relate to picking up something you used to be good at, like if you haven't programmed in a while and you're like, what is the Python standard library, what's the syntax for an if statement? Like it felt like that, but as a human. But it was also really satisfying, like very happy to be back in person. And they had an interesting setup where they have a device scan you to see if your temperature is high on your way in, to at least catch like the viral, like observably viral people. And they still require masks for now. It sounds like they might not in the near future. I'm okay with that at this point. I started to normalize after vacation, realizing like I'm still going to be reasonably cautious around total new people, but I've got some decent behaviors since the start of this.
I mean, I don't rock climb, but I don't think there's a lot of like face looking involved. So like you're probably fine.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're doing it wrong, there's no face looking.
Or if you're doing it right.
Doing it right, I was about to say.
Is there a version of rock climbing where you start at the top and just have to go back down? Because I feel like that would be much more like to my strengths.
So that's repelling.
Spelunking. Oh, yeah.
No, that's repelling. And so when I was in college, I actually took a rock climbing course. And where I went to college, I think we had what was billed as the largest rock climbing wall in North America, which was a little crazy.
Where's that?
This tiny little college in upstate New York called Cornell University.
I went to St. Lawrence.
Oh, nice. I'm,
like very close and another 4 hours upstate. But yeah.
Nice. Excellent.
Small world.
So yeah, they have a gigantic climbing wall in one of the gyms and it's huge. But then for your final thing, you had to rappel off the top of the stadium. Now, like you're kind of like backing out of a window and like you're going down. So Paul, I think you'd be fine doing that part.
Well, I'm already as a human rappelling, so I might as well, you know.
Exactly. It's just falling, just controlled. It's fine. No, it works out.
But. That's cool. Are you still rock climbing, Laura?
No. So I'm afraid of heights.
Cool.
And yeah, I took the class thinking I would somehow cure myself of the fear of heights. That didn't work, especially when you had to go out backwards out the window of the tallest building on campus to rappel off the stadium. It didn't really work very well. So no, I don't go climbing anymore. But I did some. And I have a vague idea of what you're doing, but I don't think I can do any of like the pinky grabs and all that, or whatever they're called, or like you jam the hand jam.
Oh, hand jams? Jab? No, that's a gross habit.
They hurt.
Yeah, they hurt a lot. It's just like hand as sandpaper.
I'm not afraid of heights, but I am definitely afraid of the idea of having to lift my own body weight.
Try lifting it on like your pinky. I don't know.
No, if you're lifting on your pinky, you're going to pull something. It's usually just like you're too. In inner fingers, you've got like a pinch the size of a freaking toenail, and that's considered a grip if you're good.
Yeah.
I don't use those ones. I won't for a while.
Yeah,
that's fun, but though. Yeah, Paul, exercise, that's a thing we used to do.
Exercise is fun.
All right,
Paul's looking at me like, no.
Paul likes it when there's fish involved. Yeah, he's just that's a true. He's an apex predator. He just needs a kayak and a grill nearby, and those fish are in danger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I did that the other day. I went fishing and I found a school or a group of bluegill, which are these tiny little, like, you know, hand size fish. And so chop their heads off and pull their guts out and put them over charcoal with some of the Korean barbecue sauce from that book that Matt was talking about. And it was quite delicious.
Excellent.
You didn't do that in Lake Austin, did you?
No, we were up in just down from Georgetown Dam.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you can eat the fish out of Lake Austin. It's fine. You'd be surprised how not polluted our rivers are comparatively.
Compared to
the swamp that is like
Flint, Michigan
down the street.
Yeah. The sewer line.
Yeah.
No, the Austin river systems are actually pretty healthy, so it's not too scary. I wouldn't eat out of them every other day, but I wouldn't be afraid to eat a fish from one.
Every three days is okay, though?
Sure.
Okay.
As long as you coat it enough of your brown sugar and pour some coffee over it.
Nothing will survive. It'll be fine. So I have to ask, who here has eaten lutefisk? Because now I'm kind of curious. So, Matt, you're raising your hand.
I have tasted it. It's a thing that people eat here. It's the
wait, really?
Yeah, like, so
isn't that the other cool. fish? Isn't that gefilte fish?
The Swedish one, right? The Swedish.
Yeah. Fermented. So there's actually a really interesting intersection of Swedish culture and Jewish culture. And I am in the Swedish kind of wannabe capital of the world, capital of the United States in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which was largely settled by Swedish and Danish people a few hundred years ago, just a couple, you know, they weren't here for that long. But anyway, yeah, lutefisk is repulsive, but it is technically edible and people like it here. My father-in-law loves it. And gefilte fish, also horrible. You have it every Saturday if you're into that. And both groups, they weren't offered it at our wedding, but it could have been one of the commonalities. So if I ever need a peace agreement across Sweden and the Jewish people of the world, it is that repulsive item.
Right. Yeah. So when I come and visit you, you'll have to introduce me to both.
Oh, that's okay.
Maybe we'll do it outside, maybe not inside the house.
Yeah, that's a definite.
Right. And isn't there the Icelandic like fermented shark or something as well?
Right. Yeah, so that's a different cultural reference, but there is definitely a really repulsive fermented shark that falls into the same category. We might as well pick up a durian while we're at it.
I love durian so much.
You do?
Dude, it's so good. So there is, okay, for the Austin folks, next to MT Market, there's a little bakery and they do durian cream puffs and they are so good.
If you want something sweet that vaguely smells of a dead body, durian.
But when I was in Singapore a couple of trips ago, I actually went to like a durian like store where they had all the different types of durian and you got to like pick a few tastes from each ones and then you put on like these industrial strength gloves and eat the durian and it was good. I mean, it's definitely an interesting taste and certainly an interesting smell. It smells a lot worse than it is, which I think makes it different to those other things.
Well, I have to back up here for a minute. Like industrial strength gloves to handle it. So basically you were willing to eat something that you kind of have to put a hazmat suit on.
Well, it's just the answer is yes.
But
they get mad if you like go indoors somewhere stinking of durian, right? So you don't want to get like durian juices on your fingers. That's the only reason for the gloves.
Okay.
It's, I will never forget the first time I was offered durian in Australia, and the guide we were with in the Daintree rainforest, he cuts open a durian. The whole area just starts smelling awful immediately, if you're not as acclimated as Paul. And then he's like, oh, sorry, I can't serve this. It's gone bad. I'm like, how the hell can you tell? Like, excuse me? And
that's interesting, because durian isn't native to Australia.
It isn't?
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think so. So it's, I mean, it probably grows in like the Daintree rainforest really well, because it is a tropical type fruit. So it's probably been introduced at some point, but I'm certain it's not native.
Oh, fair enough. I did not know that. I associated with it because of that trip, but it, you know, a quick Google says it's native to Malaysia, Indonesia, Borneo, and Sri Lanka, amongst others. So, huh, there I go. Not knowing what I'm talking about, but that is pretty, that's pretty cool. Good to know.
I'm still highly entertained that he's like, oh, this one going bad, I can't give it to you. That's entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. It's stuck with me.
So I feel like it would be a very Australian thing to plant durian trees specifically so that you can feed it to disgusted tourists.
I guarantee that that's what it was. It's also the same trip I like held a wombat that was clearly tired and just chilling. Just couldn't care less that I held it like a bag of potatoes that it was. And have a very youthful picture of me with a 40-pound rodent on my lap.
Explain a wombat to us, because I feel like it's one of the Australian animals you don't hear about too much.
You know, I think it's just a really intensely cute, short-legged marsupial that is, so it's got its little pouch. They're pretty heavy. I think they're minimum like 40-ish pounds. They go up to almost double that. They look like the corgis of rodents, if that makes sense. They've got like fluffy butt, cute tail, cute nose. You just want to cuddle them. I think they're way cooler than koalas, but also a common attraction.
Did you have a preferred way to prepare them?
They make great ribs. You know, they're delicate and small, but you can get a half a meal out of one of them. That would have been great. Speaking of which, all right, that's enough of this nonsense. What are people cooking this weekend?
I'll go fast because we can't talk. But I'm doing my carnitas again, which is always good. It's the Wiseman recipe. And I play around with the seasoning occasionally, and I eat off of that for a good like week, which is great.
Yum.
So let me just get this right. You're married to a woman from Mexico, and your carnitas recipe is from a white guy on YouTube?
That is correct.
Okay, just clarifying it for my own knowledge.
Multicultural, thank you very much. Multicultural.
I don't actually have any plans for this weekend. I've been fishing so much, I haven't really been thinking about eating. So come up with something for me. Tell me something you want me to cook, and I will attempt to cook it and report back.
There you go. Tweet at Paul, or Laura will think something up right now.
I can't think of anything better than what the internet can come up for you. So I really want to hear what the internet's going to tell you. So this is our anniversary weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
So thank you. So I think we'll be doing bourbon chicken, which will be very good. And probably something on the grill that will be a surprise that I won't know about. And yeah, something like that. Why not?
So explain bourbon chicken. It's not just where you pour bourbon into like a chicken's anus and then like drink it straight from the chicken.
No, I thought that was your 13th birthday.
So bourbon chicken is like the sauce is made from bourbon. So I'm trying to remember the recipe itself, but it's mostly consuming bourbon while you're cooking the chicken, and it's fine. But it's not that fancy. It sounds fancy, which is why I like it. But it's really easy to make. We make it in an Instant Pot. Cook it up in there. The bourbon goes in. It tastes delicious. But I'll see if I can find the recipe somewhere online. But no, it's not drinking bourbon out of a chicken's anus or something like that.
I mean, tweets there, Ryan.
You know. I mean, hey, if you want to do that for the weekend and report back, we could try that.
Yeah, we should try that. That sounds great. Totally. I am, I think, kind of back to basics. It's still about 100 degrees here, which I know is normal for you three Texas ice, but it's been like a week and a half of it, and I am not grilling much. If I think I've got to just get over that and get back on the grill. So I might do, if the motivation comes to me, I might do a pork shoulder and get on my pulled pork nonsense again, roast some vegetables on the side, make a thing for a while. It's always fun. Nice. But if others have a good idea of something non-pasta that is tasty to eat, I would be down for a challenge.
Have you done pork steaks? Like get the shoulder and cut it into pretty thick steaks and do like a direct heat sort of semi part grill part smoke on them?
No, never.
You should give that a shot.
Okay. Okay. I like what I'm hearing. Cool. Well, that covers us for this week of the Hallway Track. Thank you to our new co-host, Laura, for
laughing
your way through this.
What'd you say, Paul?
Should we invite her back? Has she passed the high bar of host?
Sounds like this needs to be a poll on Twitter.
All you. I feel like, do we deserve to have you back is a more
that's probably
fair
more,
phrasing.
More, yeah.
Will you come back, please, maybe?
Yeah. Other poll, does JJ have COVID? But hopefully not.
No.
I'm negative. We checked on that.
Okay,
that's good. That's good.
Just wanted to close out making sure you're fine. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for listening all. Appreciate seeing you and catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.